and now Evangelist David Shannon.
The last few weeks we've been looking at Matthew the 13th chapter. 2 weeks ago we looked how the kingdom of heaven is likened to the ones that are good that Jesus sows. And then there's also the evil ones that Satan sows. Then last week we noticed that the kingdom of heaven was like the mustard seed. Very, very small in size as a seed, but its intention is to grow to become the largest herb, and that is a distinctive characteristic of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is to be a kingdom that concentrates upon growth and bringing more into the kingdom. As we read in the 33rd verse this morning, read with me, "Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Now Matthew is writing to Jews when he writes the book of Matthew. Very oftentimes when Matthew writes, he refers to the Old Testament prophecies and ways of the old times, because that's what the Jews appreciated. That's what they understood. Now if you'll notice, all throughout the book of Matthew, very seldom, and especially in this chapter, does he use the word God or the name God. You see, the Jews were so afraid that they would use the word God in vain that many times they would try to avoid using it if possible. And so here, instead of talking about the kingdom of God, which would be just as proper, Matthew continues to say that Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Here he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a little leaven. It leavens the whole lump. Now, I grew up in a home where yeast rolls and yeast biscuits and sour bread dough was just a way of growing up. I've opened the refrigerator door several times to find out that Mama's yeast bread had just went too far. It would start out in what seemed like a big bowl, and it would be just a little lump of dough in that big bowl, and we'd go back to the refrigerator after coming in from being out for a few hours, and she'd have a table or a dish towel spread over the top of it. We'd open up the refrigerator and it's done pushed off the dish towel and just spilt all over the refrigerator. You know, if it'll make it any clearer for you this morning, this is Mama's recipe. This is 10 cups of flour right here. Now that's what she began with whenever she made her dough. 10 cups. This is equivalent to about a teaspoon of yeast. 1 teaspoon. Now when Jesus said here that the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which the woman took and hid 3 measures of meal, but it leavened the whole lump. Brethren, that's how we are to be this morning. The whole lump. I want to show you something just for illustration's sake. And we'll look at this again at the end of the sermon if I don't forget. Hopefully I won't forget. I want to show you the power. Now, I'm sure you women are familiar with this, but just in case, and if it'll make it a little more clear, we'll put in a little bit of sugar to make a good cook, huh? I measured that precise. That was 1 teaspoon of sugar. Okay, now here is the little bit of leaven. Go ahead and cut that a little more. I've never cooked before this many people, so I'm a little nervous. All right, now we'll see. If everything goes right, in the next 15 or 20 minutes, what just a little bit of yeast can do in a whole cupful of water with just a little sugar in it. When Jesus used these parables, he used things that people could relate with, that people understood. People in that day and time were very familiar with bread. That was a great source of their diet. Today, I hope we can learn from the yeast. I hope we can see that even though we may have a whole world out in front of us, and we may look at it and we may say, well, that's so much. The world is so wicked. I don't think we can ever do what it will take to affect that entire world. We're so few in number. How can just the few of us affect this area of East Gaston where so many live? Jesus said it's possible. And I think the reason He's used this illustration of the leaven. Now notice, he already, back to verse before, used the illustration of the mustard seed. And he said, it is possible to go from the tiniest seed to a very, very large herb. And now he uses this parable to tell how to do it. Do it by contact. You see, it doesn't matter how long you hold a little packet of yeast. That dough, that flour is never going to rise as long as you keep the yeast over here and the flour over there. It takes contact. It takes going into the meal for the meal to rise. I'm sure some of you are familiar with sourdough bread. Now that's some really crazy bread. You have to feed the starter. Now I remember Mama going in and taking sugar and potato flakes and she'd feed her starter and it'd grow. And then she'd take that and mix it in and that's how it was leavened. And then it would rise too. We're going to have to feed ourselves. We're going to have to feed ourselves on the Word of God. And we're going to have to be the power. But brethren, as long as we think that Christianity and as long as we think that the kingdom of heaven is coming together and worshiping together and that is our strength, we failed. We have failed miserably. You see, us coming together is a great part of Christianity, but we're just like that yeast that's in his packet as long as we're together. We can only be together, and that's it. There's really no power for the world in us coming together. The power is when we dismiss. The power is when we go into the world. The power is when we make contact on Monday morning with the world. And on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That is the power that I think Jesus Christ was trying to teach when He said, we must be like the leaven. We must make contact with the world. I want you to notice when Peter wrote in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter. Now this he was writing to wives that were married to men that were not Christians. But I think the teachings apply to all of us about our influence. Notice what he says to him in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise. Your husband won't obey? You continue to obey. Don't nag. Don't beg. Don't plead. Let your conversation, the way you conduct yourself daily. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But here's where the key is for all of us in living the Christian life. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great, great. Brethren, this morning, we need to realize that as a Christian, we're obligated to go into the world and to portray a Christ-like attitude. You see, we cannot say, listen, I'm a faithful Christian, but that's not one of my blessings that the Lord has blessed me with. That's not one of the abilities that God has given me. Brethren, we are not even a Christian if we can't go into the world and live and follow the Word of God. Too often times we have mistaken Christianity as when we come together and we portray a knowledge of the Word of God and we attend regularly and we give as we have been prospered and we say, that is my Christian life. That is just one small portion of the Christian life that Jesus exemplified and that He taught about. And as we look throughout this Matthew the 13th chapter for the past few Sundays, we've seen that what Jesus emphasizes is how we are to the world, not how we are to each other. Now, of course, there are other passages that emphasize how we treat each other. But for these weeks, let's concentrate upon how we are to the world. How do they look upon us? Look back with me, if you will, to Titus. Titus, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 and 10, we're even told as if we were slaves or servants, how to behave. We're going to see very similar to what he told the wives. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So he says, listen, you servants, just the way you answer your master should adorn the doctrine of Christ. Brethren, the way we answer our bosses should adorn the gospel of Christ. The way we answer to those that work below us or beneath us and in our job places, the way we answer our neighbors, the way we answer our family, the way we live our life, and the way we answer to Satan himself should adorn the gospel of Christ. How we need to guard against thinking that Christianity is something that we only portray when we're together. Let's notice this morning three musts if we are going to be like the leaven. The first must is that we must be different. You see, as a Christian, I cannot think that coming together and then going back into the world and being just like them is enough. That's not anything to Christ. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Hold on. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not transformed to the world. Be ye not conformed to the world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now notice this. Why? Why are we not to be like the world? Why are we to be transformed by the world? To prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, if we're going to go out into the world and live as the world lives, we're not going to prove anything. A Christian is the one that goes out and by his action and by his life he lives, he proves what the Word of God says. When someone that you're around can pick up the Word of God and see a conflict in the Word of God and in your life, you're a false doctrine. You're a false teacher. You're a hypocrite. This morning, let us all be aware that the way I speak cannot be as the world speaks. The way I think cannot be as the world thinks. The way I act cannot be as the world acts. Why? Because we're to be the power. We're to be that little lump of leaven that leavens the whole lump. If we're going to be like the world, we're just going to add a little more to the lump, but we're not going to add any of the power of God, any of the leaven. We must be different. Matthew, the 5th chapter, says that we're to be like the salt. We add a little bit of preserving power to the world by teaching the gospel of Christ. It also says that we're to be like a light, like the city that lights up on the hillside. The world is to be able to see the power of God in our lives. It says we're not to be like that, that's a candle that you hide under the bushel. No man does that. This morning, is there a difference in our life? The second must is that we must be interested. You know, it's a shame to see members of the church that are not interested in lost souls. It doesn't bother them. They're doing what they need to do. They have their soul taken care of, and it really doesn't matter to them if their neighbor's lost, a member of their family is lost. As Christians, we can't do that. We must be interested in lost souls. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote in Romans, he said, I'd rather my soul be accursed for my kinsmen. I bet there's someone here this morning that if you had the ability, you'd say just as Paul said. You'd say, if I could just have so and so to be saved, I'd give up my own soul. I'd allow my own soul to be damned if there was just one family member that I could help save. That's what Paul said. Paul said it wasn't possible. He wasn't trying to preach that any of us could control someone else's soul. That's not what he was saying. What he was trying to express was his great concern for the lost, and especially those that he was kin to. This morning, I must be interested. It must break my heart to see a soul lost. And I must rejoice abundantly whenever I hear of a soul obeying the gospel. Also, another must that we study about, and that is, we must have relationships with those outside the world. You know, back in before Jesus came, according to the Jewish society, there was a big, bold line that was drawn in society. And you were either a righteous Jew or you were a heathen. And the righteous Jew did not cross that line. The righteous Jew would have nothing to do with the heathen. As a matter of fact, he treated the heathen like dirt. Jesus came, and even though the Jews could not understand it, he ate with the publicans, with the heathens. He had a few meals with them. He even allowed tax collectors to come into his company. He even went out to a few fishermen. Brethren, today, if I can use the old cliche, I need to step off of my high horse. And I need to realize that the only reason I'm any better off than anyone else is because I'm forgiven. And the only difference in me and my neighbor may be simply forgiveness of sin. The only difference in me and the one that's locked up in a penitentiary for murder is simply forgiveness of sins, perhaps. And there may not even be that difference if they've had forgiveness. I need to realize that it's my responsibility to step over that border that we sometimes draw and eat a few meals with the sinners and to talk with them and to express our love and our concern. And most of all, to express the love that Jesus Christ had in coming to die for sinners. That's what just one little tablespoon can do. Probably in a few more minutes it may run over the edges a little bit. But it's power. It's not like adding sand to the water that just settles in the bottom. It makes a difference. So Jesus, in trying to say to the world, trying to say to the disciples that were trying to learn about the new ways, He said, you know how much the mustard seed changes? Oh, they could identify with that. He says, that's how the church is to change. It's to grow. Don't you know they wondered, well, how are we to grow that way? So He goes back in the next verse and He says, you be like the leaven. People in that day knew that leaven was powerful. It made a difference. It made the growth. This morning, we're going to be like sand or some other substance that has no power. Or we're going to be like the leaven. Now, we can come together. We can worship God 3 days a week. We can put on some awful good fronts. But the truth is, unless we're power of God to a lost world, we are not the kingdom of heaven. If we're not power to a lost and dying world by the Word of God, we've created some other society, some other organization, and given ourselves the name Church of Christ. I think we have a fine group of people here at East Gaston. I think we have people that's dedicated to the Lord and hard workers. But I think all of us can use a little reminding from Matthew the 13th chapter of what is the kingdom of heaven. It's likened to the leaven. This morning, there's no walls too thick, no boundaries too wide to cross with the Word of God. None. Brethren, we must believe that here at East Gaston. We must stop looking at lives and saying they're just too far gone. Well, those people, they would never listen to the gospel.
We don't know the heart of man. And we do not know the power of the Word of God when it comes to changing a sinful life. Let's stop trying to do the judging of who will and who won't. And let's just take the Word of God. This morning, how is your life? Have you ever become a Christian? Have you done that first step in reaching out for the Savior? Have you realized that without Him, you're really nothing but responsible for your sins and you have to pay for them? Don't you want those sins forgiven? Don't you want them washed away? Then once you become a Christian, have you done your part in being the power of God? Can your neighbors look at your life and say, I see the Word of God in that person? If not, let's do something about our life as we stand, as we sing.